minutes. Like, we try to do 10-15 minutes most. So the first question is who you are.
Chara.
Helen.
Maria.
Andrea.
So could you talk a bit about where or what you've been working on in this week?
I mean, maybe one place to start would be the name of our little group. We called ourselves Aging on the Command Line, and we were really interested in reimagining or detecting some of the ways that human aging and digital processes, maybe imagined in the broadest sense, might be able to kind of provide us with other ways of thinking about what aging in both those domains could mean, might look like, maybe what it should look like. Maybe that ethical directive is too strong a point at this moment, but what are ways that we can kind of think differently about what it means to age through time, whether you're a human or a digital machine. So Aging on the Command Line was our kind of starting point for a lot of branches of what was to me a really fruitful conversation.
And it was also this set of questions was somehow informed by the excursion to the IMEC, in which we were taken along, like a bunch of situations and machineries and even like emergent subjectivities, no? Somehow held under the umbrella of this motto of embracing a better life. And we were wondering if this, all the figurations that somehow are called by the motto of embracing a better life could serve as, like, could have a potential for problematizing, no? Like, what aging is actually embedded in these computational processes, and what agent is not, aging is not embedded there, and why, but also through a social aesthetic analysis.
Mm-hmm. And I think as well, really, like from IMEC as well, really thinking about what IMEC is figuring in terms of how IMEC figures aging, or how actually in the embedded device figures the environment, the aging body, aging itself. And from that point, I think there became a kind of zooming in on the semiconductor and on the kind of processes of the semiconductor, the material semiotics of it, I guess, and the bits. So that process of, on our visit to COSAC, is it COSAC?
COSIC.
Is it Giuseppe?
Josep.
Showing us that process of flipping bits with a laser, so that way in which you might start to make an intervention into the bit, and therefore perhaps how the bit is figuring aging or figuring the bodies, entities, environments.
And how have you been working on this? Because there's been some experiments also.
First, maybe we can say that we distributed ourselves in several paths, no? Along several, like three paths at least, no? But then new others keep emerging still now. No? Like there was like
I think one of the, there was starting to look at bit rot.
Yeah.
Was quite an important moment, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then actually looking at the processes of aging and actually how that actually has these different temporalities of aging in bit rot. So there was the two particularly the two processes, which maybe Martine could talk more about, but one which was more like a human temporality, yeah, and the other one is more like a kind of like something that becomes a very different temporality of aging, which isn't linear in the same way as it might be, like aging might be thought of. So a process in which things might come together, get reconfigured. So aging in a very different type of temporality. Mm-hmm.
Does aging always mean breaking?
No. And I think that's one of the sort of second iteration of this rot that we are really trying to work through and really clarify for ourselves as well. And this sort of second piece of rot, if you will. And by the way, one of the things we certainly that I've sort of tended to in terms of our conversation is just the choice of the word rot, which to me is so organic, so messy, so, you know, animal, I suppose, animal, vegetable. And to sort of have a word like that transposed onto bits is an interesting, sort of transference, perhaps. But one of the kinds of rot that we were interested in, and that Helen's talking about, is the sort of manifestation of rot, not because the bit or the sort of digital object in question is broken or flipped off or any number of those things. The problem is not with that, but with its surroundings. And it's when the surroundings change that the item of concern becomes identified with rot. And so we were interested in that. I was interested in, I think we, I don't want to do too much we, but but I think we were a we, in how that indicates a sort of profound kind of relational mesh or relational context to aging that's very different from an aging timeline that is linear, singular, and hurtling toward decline. So that was certainly a revelation that I had, and a model that, again, sort of on the organic animal human side of things, wasn't occurring to me until we had this discussion of how the change of what environments can kind of impose or sort of unload aging, you know, download aging onto the kind of item in question, as opposed to the item in question being, you know, such and such years or cycles old.
And I think from this point we got to thinking about the environmentality of these processes, of these relationships, and whereas a lot of those embedded sensing things, they're kind of figured in this way in which things are very bounded, or the human's very bounded. And so then actually looking at the environment or how the environment was affecting bits led us to the discovery. I say that in a...
I love that.
Of the galactic cosmic rays, which was a moment where we really flipped open the bits. Yeah. And this discovery, well, this understanding from atmospheric science, I think, that the particles that are circulating, particles from things like meteor showers or I think star explosions, sun events, actually have the potential to flip bits and make these kind of actually quite, at some point, sort of humorous changes in the ontologies of embedded devices.
Substantial.
Yeah, such as, so there was a couple of examples that we came across. One was a meteor shower causing a bit to flip in the online, in an e-voting system in Belgium, which caused a candidate, apparently, a bit flip to have more votes, or a plane dropping out of the sky, or something very simple as well, such as just a document. I think you were looking, Hara, at documents changing meaning due to bit flips.
Yes, like, with affected, like information, like front end information being affected by bit flips. But also, yeah, this, so there is like this environmental and yeah, crossed affections with like placed in big tension with this notion, like this tension between the rotten, like the rotting process and the flipping. Because of the binarism that comes with the flipping movement in like itself, no? So, somehow. So it's like you've got like all this gradient of a field, no? Of electromagnetic field, no? Like where things happen, no? In a in a cross affected way, and there you have like an overimposed like understanding of like this. Charges as either one or zero, not positive, negative, and yeah. So it's it was interesting to wonder if we could at some point catch a bit in the flipping, no, like somehow.
But so part of the how I think was also like a series of readings. Could you maybe say something about the way that works, like the reader you brought in and then the sessions around that? How that maybe Maria can say.
Then I can speak. Yeah, I mean. This to me is a bit of an introduction. So but the reader, I mean, we read two. I read everybody else probably read a lot more. But I think maybe the Ruya document, the text, that was about the atom and the relationship between how the atom is I guess it's kind of a genesis of the world from the moment of the atom, but taking a kind of Simondonian version of that rather than the whole atomism and pre-Spinozan ideal. There was a lot of kind of clarifications around how the world is put together and how it all comes together and the moment of, because prior to that we were reading a lot about kind of the social aspects of mathematics and blackness, and there was a kind of heavy heart on all of that mathematics and data and whatnot. And then there was the moment of the sort of the cosmic rays, which just kind of made you feel that the agency of everything was somewhere material outside, and bits were being flipped in that way. So it was. Yeah, it was a kind of a moment of revelation while we were doing the reading. Yes, and that was the Ruya text. That was my introduction to the group, I guess.
That's like an atomic beginning.
The beginning of me in this configuration, yeah.
And then a good part of our work yesterday was this kind of wonderful, I found it wonderful, this sort of communal kind of working and reading alone together when we were just doing that delightful work of kind of going down rabbit holes of sort of all of these various kind of readings and artifacts and kind of opportunities that we're just finding in a kind of serendipitous fashion that we then kind of collected. At the bottom, one of the ones that stood out to me was, and it was very nicely tied in to our experience at IMEC. I'm just looking for the title of it. I'm not sure it's standing out, but it's, it's not going to stand out for me right now. But it was an article published by IMEC on device aging and bit flipping. And the title of the article was something very close to the effect of, chips must learn to feel pain and heal themselves. That was just sort of a moment. And reading through the article, and it was about the kind of imminent future of the self-healing chip. And just to go back to your question a little earlier, Wendy, the idea of aging as kind of a process of injury or harm, at least on the sort of in the imagination of the device. That was a nice moment that sort of pulled together not just IMEC and aging and bit flipping, but just some fascinating just the language of the kind of imperative that the chips must learn, which is sort of a very stern school teacher approach. And so yeah, just those kinds of delights of the text that were sort of being revealed just as we were encountering these documents that without this space and without these questions, I certainly never would have encountered. So that was a moment of pleasure I had.
Yeah, this was related with the, like, all the trajectory of machine learning and unsupervised learning and this imperative, no? Like,
yes.
The hyper-productive turbo capitalist, yeah. Like tendency or pulls, no, to like towards which like all this research is somehow being oriented, mm-hmm. And this I remember in the reading conversation, no, like this self healing thing you just brought reminded me how we were wondering how the partial reparation, no? Like this partiality, so it's like the non-absolute kind of approach, narrative or rhetorics can be approached. And this is somehow also part of one of the aims that were there at the beginning when we came back all frustrated from the laboratories, like this inter-university laboratories and all those efforts and all this spectacularity, you know, with its confidentiality. No, we somehow with Martino were like wondering if we had come across like that day with the limits of what we understand as critique, no? With the limits of critique, no? Like we were frustrated because we understood that the tools we have like to make criticism, like to provoke critique, it were like to some extent like super confrontative, no? Even like this notion of the rot riot, yes, is like somehow like brings with it like somehow like a confrontative gesture, no? Mm. But with this partial reparation, we might be in need, no? Or like starting like an understanding of how important it is to wonder about the affirmative politics, no? That are not like what would be like an affirmative road riot, no? That yeah. That is.
Yeah. Where's the relational mesh as it regards, yeah, as it regards our work?
Yeah, because it is like really a fake thing, no? Oh, yeah. It is not like a flipping bidimensional mm-hmm. Thing, no? It is like a thick composition.
It's like pickling.
Lacto-fermentation
is also rotting.
Okay. Yes.
Composting.
Yeah, composting.
Yeah. And maybe that's the whole aging question, isn't it?
Yeah.
So when you, the maybe in that sense, the rotting or aging, because you asked the question, is it always a demise of something? But actually, pickling is a version of this, of a great aging, or even there's a lot of food that ages really well. But it involves a form of rotting, a rotting process.
Like fermentation.
Yeah, and maybe that's the kind of affirmative creative way of thinking of a critique or thinking of some kind of new thing. It's different. It might smell.
Yes. Yeah.
For me, there's in terms of the. Some of the texts that we've been reading, and actually Elizabeth Gross's kind of focus on the atom or that kind of micro scale in relation to kind of actually the affirmative possibilities actually really helped to kind of get through that thickness. And in terms of the kind of galactic cosmic rays, it's almost the potential for a new kind of feminist ontology of thinking with computation, because it really does open up the potential for things to collapse differently and to open up different entanglements of these human, animal, microbe, climate, galactic forces.
Yeah.
And so that really, I don't know, actually that atomic work really, and I think that mixture of both the atomic work but also the kind of problematizing, whereas in a lot of the scientific literature we're looking at, it kind of has this narrative that the galactic cosmic rays just enter into a space and make something happen in a very causal way. But actually what the Elizabeth Gross text kind of draws our attention to is perhaps that those atoms are already in touch with each other, and there's actually an entanglement that's already holding things in place. So kind of what is already holding, aging and enduring in place in particular ways, and how we might kind of think about that in terms of the orientations of those bits and their orientation to flip, I think could be an interesting thing to explore further.
So last question is, so you were about to send an email? Like I'm wondering about what's happening now. Where is this going? Or where are you going with it?
We were going to send an email to Eduardo. Eduardo.
Yeah.
Okay. Eduardo. Just to get a little more information about how bit flipping can be, in essence, sort of weaponized, and sort of what are the conditions under which bit flipping sort of part of could be part of an attack or something of that nature. At least that was one of the topics.
And also Femke, because you were also thinking about that flipping versus spinning, or what the spin might mean. So that's another potential to talk to him about, I think.
Right. I'm curious if he has an answer to this. No.
Yeah, let's see. We'll keep trying.
Perhaps to
the
use
wheel.
It, no? Yeah, to use
oh,
it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Joseph.
Yeah. Because I think it's the same department that talked about side channel attacks.
You might have some.
Yeah.
And we'll keep trying with the cloud chamber, no? To see what's already there. Okay.
We tried the
maybe this is
the
moment to get Martino in.
Yeah. Enter Martino.
Enter Martino.
Yeah. So was this balloon at fault?
Who are you?
A water kettle.
A water kettle drinking tea.
A reversed water kettle.
Yeah.
So maybe also to, so you can, so maybe to talk a bit about the experiment that was done yesterday, that will maybe be done again today, or no?
Maybe.
There's talk of that happening. Do you want to talk about the experiment?
Well, the experiment was to try and get some, hook point on this cosmic rays, because we, yeah, apparently they were often, basically when there was no kind of structured explanation for a bug or like a misbehaving of a device, then this possibility that cosmic rays could help bits flip is often called up as kind of a last resource to still kind of scientifically explain why something is not working or misbehaving more than not working. And of course that some it's nice this recurs to the things coming from the sky. So, but then I don't know, it's still such an interesting object that we try to see how you can observe these cosmic rays and try to understand also what they are actually. And so yeah, and this experiment is basically a classic scientific experiment, I guess, for schools or that direction. But it creates this suspension of alcohol in gas form, but that it's really extremely cold, so that some kind of any type of perturbation in the suspension causes the alcohol to condense and become water again. I mean, not water, but become alcohol again, but liquid alcohol again. And so that this somehow makes it become visible, like in small droplets, so that you basically see a trace of the passage of any particle.
Basically, the muon makes the droplets move. It stays liquid, so it's just mist.
Mm-hmm.
And because you have mist, you can see something better.
So yeah, we were trying this last night, and one of the problems perhaps was that there wasn't enough of a vacuum created. So with the container, the chamber. So there's an idea of trying it with a jar to kind of create a vacuum. Potentially, I mean, it might be a bit smaller scale,
yeah.
But it's worth one more try.
Martino, you were yesterday you were looking at bit rot, and also can you talk a little bit about this digital analysis of this?
Yeah, I mean, these cosmic rays are called to explain why at a certain point a bit is not what it was without an operation that changed its value, which is of course because that anyway, how to say, it's kind of starting abstraction that you say on a material support, something is zero and something is one, well actually it's kind of an analog continuum of either material or kind of electromagnetic charge. And at some point, because maybe the charge drops, or yeah, apparently a cosmic particle causes this charge to change, then it flips. Then it our understanding of it flips, and what was one becomes zero, or vice versa. So, and this is, that's one of the understandings of bit rot. That is this kind of degradation, let's say, of digital data. But on the other hand, it's used in a very vast way, apparently. Like the same bit rot or software rot, it's also used to describe when a software doesn't work anymore because of its age, in the sense that even if it's just actually the ecosystem around it that changes, or maybe the hardware over which the software should run that changes and does not take into account that there are older versions that have certain expectations from its relations with other components like hardware or software components, then this is also called software rot. But actually the software is kind of running as it was running before, but
it's dependencies, so you can or hold them in place, maybe.
And
it's relational.
But it's interesting that it's really like also blurry. Yeah, it's totally kind of the degradation of relations that is taken to mean the degradation of the software itself or the bits. And it becomes really blurry because in general, they describe that old software starts to rot, and it's not clear if it's the performance diminishes. It's like saying, this computer is very old, it's running really slow. But actually it's not clear if it's a material cause or actually like problems in the software or its dependencies. And so it's really curious, this vagueness in a way. But I guess it's cosmic rays in general.
It's nice to know we have a good, and for me, new catch-all excuse for things that
most
go sideways.
Back pain.
Right.